Committee meeting Tuesday, February 21st, 2023, 6 p.m. Is anybody else on the line? Should we officially have to announce then that we can host via Zoom?
Yeah, there's nobody signed in.
Cool. All right. I guess we'll keep it up. See if anybody attends. While we're going through the agenda item here, we do have one old business item, which is 2022-82, which is the Wendat Road parking change discussion. Is anybody here that is here for that? Excellent. So with that, we've got some official citizen response here and there. Some official, some unofficial. Sounds like most are in favor of keeping a present status, which was changed in 2014. But with that, we'll open up any citizen comments to speak either to that or any other items that you'd like. And then do we have them still step up here?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, to address the committee at the podium.
If you can state your name for us.
Dave Gatos, live on Claremont Court off of Wendat Ridge. My only concern is, yeah, I would want it to stay the way it is.
Okay.
Reason being is, I guess I could go either way. My concern is safety. You know, a lot of people say, oh, putting parking on both sides is going to reduce speed. That's not going to reduce speed. People are going to fly down that road however fast they want to go. You know, and the second part is, personally, there's a bus stop on Claremont Court where there are crosswalks. Okay, so by law, 30 feet from an intersection, 30 feet from a crosswalk, you are not allowed to park. That's not being enforced. This year it has been a little bit, but the first day of school for my daughter, she almost got hit. Because once the bus left, the car behind it couldn't see us coming off the crosswalk because there were parked cars right here on one side. So at the end of the day, I would say safety is my concern. If you do, you know, parking on both sides, then let's get enforcement down there. Speed for one, and parking regulation for the other. How are you guys going to control that? That's my only concern at the end of the day.
Awesome. Perfect. Thanks, Dave.
Can I ask a clarifying question? The proposal is to keep it the way it is, where we allow one side parking, right?
Technically, the proposal was to revert it back to double-sided parking. So if you're, it doesn't really matter, I guess, to this group as much as we prefer it to be one-sided or two-sided.
Yeah.
Is that
already been decided?
Well, we're
going to say it's all out of trouble. I'm not going to fix this.
Are you on it yet?
I am not, so I know I don't get a vote in it. But
okay.
I'm
trying to keep a tabby.
Sure thing.
Yeah.
Five and 7 year old daughter at stake, so you know, I don't care where I live. I like that voice in it.
Yep.
I'm also a local school administrator, and a lot of times when we weigh and assess our decisions, it's on function, right? Flow, safety, and when we get lucky, aesthetics, right? Mm-hmm. What it looks like. I don't see how having it two sided helps with any of those three pieces. That's all I've seen.
Excellent. Thank you.
For the record, can you provide your name?
Oh, sure. Pete Colbert.
My alias? I'm Kevin Springer.
Whichever. Thanks, Kevin.
Hi, my name is Abby Cooling. I also live in Wendat. I live on Fairfax, which also has a parking restriction. There's parking only on one side of Fairfax, which is part of the reason that we bought there in April. Coming from Joliet, it was a mess aesthetically. It wasn't safe. Cars flew down our street. We actually were one block south of a very busy street, and it just wasn't safe. And now that I have a two-year-old, again, a big part of the reason that we moved on Fairfax is because we love the idea of the parking ban and parking restriction. Another concern that I have is when I was looking through the proposal and just the information, I read that part of the reason that you're even visiting this is because the construction is done in Wendat Ridge. And it's not. They just dug this summer. I don't know if dug is the official word, but they just started development at the end of Wendat Ridge. So why on earth would we reverse the parking when it's not done? So saying that it's done when it's not is kind of a concern for me. Also, while we're not on Wendat, I do think that all of the residents should have received a letter and should have been polled, because it does affect us. We walk home in debt at least twice a week as a family. And the speeding and the parking, it affects us, even when we're not directly resident on that street. So just going forward, it's kind of nice to include everybody, because we're all a part of that small community. So I definitely do not want the ban reversed. I definitely think that it's safer, especially for the bus stops. Like you said, I live on Fairfax, and I'm at the corner of Fairfax and Kenshire, which also has a bus stop. And I'll tell you, people just fly. Like, they do not respect the bus. Like, I've seen people go around buses. My two-year-old, he's three now, but my three-year-old loves school buses. We're out there in the window almost every day, and we see it. We see the construction vehicles flying down Fairfax, coming from 47, and it just would not be safe. Like, I'm very confident as a mother, former teacher, who has, you know, kids' interests in mind, just not a good idea. So I really appreciate your time and your consideration.
Thanks, Abby.
Can you explain why we only sent to the Wooden Deck for Georgia?
If you'd like me to.
Yeah. Would that be fine?
Yeah, I think it's
fine. Yeah. So past practice, it's been only to send the letters to people that live directly adjacent to the parking restriction. We have waffled with that in the past, or struggled with it. Especially the larger subdivisions where you've got the same situation, the main thoroughfare, the proposing restriction that maybe everybody uses. In the past, City Council said, you know, the main concern primarily is just for people, that have neighbors over, friends over, being able to park, on the street or close nearby. But something that we will certainly look at for the next.
And just a concern is if it's reversed, when that would it then come my way? I'm perfect. You know what I mean? So it really is a community, not just an individual. And I'm sorry, just for the sake, like I mentioned, I'm New York. Can you guys introduce yourselves?
I just don't
know exactly who I'm talking
about. I'm Alderman
Coke. I'm sorry?
I'm Alderman Coke. You're Alderman.
Okay.
And yeah, I've been getting lots of feedback. So, probably like 70 individuals just that don't even live on the Winnedette Street. So yeah, I've been tabbing this, and as I get it,
So I'm Alderman Merrick, Ward 3. So I'm the chair of Public Works, and Ken's my co-chair.
Great, thank you.
Alderman Closure, Ward 2. Maybe Oliver Carter.
Hi, Brad Sanderson, city engineer.
I'm here to do some director of Public Works.
And I'm Bart Olson, I'm the city administrator.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Wonderful. Yep. So, we did have, I think, one resident join, and Chris is also.
Okay.
For this.
Excellent.
My name is Kyle Lighthizer. I'm on the Window Bridge in Fairfax Road. Some of you might know who I am. I've been emailing a couple of you guys back and forth about this. One of the concerns that I have is I have a company and I have a truck. I don't bring them home in our subdivision. Doesn't want them parked on the street. But if I am like coming home on lunch, I have a Ford F-450. From here to here is 7.9 feet long. And the ambulance is what, 8.8 feet wide? So if there's something that's making that narrow spot for anyone to get down. If this is about speed, again, this isn't going to stop anybody from there. That's what it seems like everybody is talking about, being a speed issue. I actually learned this year, I've been here since 2015. It's my fault, I'll admit, I didn't pay attention to our supervision, it's 35 miles an hour. I assumed it was 25 miles an hour, like most subdivisions are. So that might be something that we can maybe reduce the speed limit down to 25 miles an hour. I hate to put in speed bumps. I know that's a nightmare for the city, and I don't want to be driving down speed, 4 or 5 speed bumps. I came from Bolingbrook, that they love speed bumps. So if it's a speed issue, I think there needs to be something else addressed, more stop signs, whatever goes from there. But we also thought in 2015, because there was a parking restriction, I know everything can change, but that was a great help to know, hey, we're right there, there's schools right by us, which is another thing, is if kids are walking up to go to the junior high that's right down the street, they walk by every day by our house, you're not going to be able to see around 2 cars that are double parked at that. And then I also know that fire hydrants are mainly on Bonnie's side. Are we going to then paint and block so people know not to park in front of those? Handicap, because I know everyone's going to park forever, kept it to one side, is it possible that we can make exceptions for someone that's handicapped, if that's a need, or why they're wanting to park on both sides, is that they don't want to walk across the street or something like that, which was a suggestion that we had on there. And that's really about it. We'd really like to keep it just the way it is right now. It'd be great.
We had spoke, I think, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, we did.
Excellent. Absolutely. Thanks, Scott.
My name is Melissa Valerio. I live on Sutton Street in the Wendat subdivision. And for all the reasons previously stated, I would like to also support keeping the band in place. Personally, growing up on the east side of Aurora for the majority of my life, I've lived and gotten nicked a few times going down, you know, multiple side streets and main thoroughfares that have dual-sided parking. So I would like to support keeping it as it is.
Okay. Thanks, Melissa. And tell Alex I said hi.
Connecting. I apologize for that. That's my fault.
Okay.
But I appreciate everybody's time. The reason I'm here today is a similar sentiment to everybody else. I don't really support the idea. I also came from East Aurora, Georgetown neighborhood across from Waubonsie. We had a lot of issues with parking on both sides of the street. The streets there are actually tighter, so it's even more problematic, unfortunately. Cars would get nicked. You know, I've seen dogs get hit. I should say dog. I've seen that happen where they ran out because, again, you're trying to look both ways because there's cars on both sides of you and you're not really, you know, you're focused on what's right in front of you, not further out. And things happen, right? So my number one concern is safety. As Kyle mentioned, you know, emergency vehicles. I know, again, we've got some newer neighborhood, wider streets. Again, I don't know the exact vehicle measurements like Kyle does, but that was certainly a concern of mine. You know, I do have a good friend that's worked in Lake County DOT for the last 10 years as a material traffic operations engineer. And so I went to him and I said, hey, like, is there any data to support that this may be a good idea in terms of just speed reduction in the area? And he said, unfortunately, he doesn't know of any studies that he has in Lake County that would support that. So I guess, you know, my one question is if there is, you know, studies that suggest this and support it, you know, can those be shared with us? Again, I'm of the opinion that I would prefer it not to happen because I drive down with that every single day. But I do think something, you know, speed limit wise would be also helpful. Again, it's only as good as it's enforced. So I appreciate everybody's time. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Go for it.
Good evening. My name is John Vinian. I'm at 272 Wigdet Ridge. We're the first home at the north entry on the right-hand side. I've seen a significant increase in traffic frequency or traffic-related events, such as meters being knocked off. We've got a couple of neighbors that are parking on the south side of the street if you're heading east, and they've lost a few meters. So I just wanted to echo the sentiments of my fellow residents that I think it would be ideal if it stays as is, and that would reduce any property damage issues. Also bring back from time to time the speed limit sign that was up periodically, letting people know that awareness created a lot of attention. And speeds were reduced. Of course, the moment that went away or people got used to it, speeds came back up. Nonetheless, it created a little bit of awareness. Well, thank you for wanting to speak. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, John.
We have, just so you guys know, we worked with Chief trying to, last fall even, try and reduce the speed of it because we recognize that. So anything that we can, I'm sure maybe he'll increase the presence or something through the neighborhood.
I do have one online comment, if I can read aloud.
Absolutely.
Kathy, who has joined us here, she has said, over the last 3 weeks, I have counted cars on Wyndette Ridge Road 3 times a day at different times. I have not counted more than 8 cars at a time. Wyndette Ridge Road is roughly 0.8 miles long. 4 cars on a side will cause a huge disruption in space on a street that can easily accommodate 3 cars wide. Right now, there are 3 cars parked on Wyndette Ridge Road. I don't think allowing parking on both sides will cause a safety issue. And so, just for clarification, she does support both-sided parking.
Okay. Thanks, Bart. Thanks, Kathy. Joe, you got any?
No.
Updates. Chris, have you heard anything?
I have not heard anything, but yeah, I just wanted to listen to this one and see what the residents had to say before kind of weighing in on it.
Got it. Thanks, Chris. I have no further comments outside of what was available in the packet, but again, I know you've been the closest to us to it, so if you have any additional kind of thoughts.
It's like 10 to 1.
Against. Or to say the same, rather.
Yeah, it's been, which I was not let, if I would have known it was going to be, I would have explained the process. I did explain the process that it had to be a majority and it's not even close. So.
Okay. So I think based on, again, both formal and formal tallies, attendees tonight that spoke and one online, it sounds like the general consensus would be to stay as is. So with that, we will not recommend to move this to City Council. Excellent. Chris, you good with that?
Yeah, I'm good.
Who's Chris?
Chris Funkhauser, he's the other Ward 3 alderman, my counterpart.
He's online.
Yep.
Okay,
great. Sorry. No worries. Excellent. So with that, we'll move forward to the standard agenda items. We'll approve our minutes last time. So you all are welcome to stay, but if not, the Wyndette Ridge will stay the same. We're not going to move that forward to City Council.
And that's final? We're good?
Yes.
This is done
yep.
for now?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Yep.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Your time. I want to be here.
Awesome. Have a good night. Was I supposed to actually officially approve the minutes? Does that matter? Is that
voice vote or general consensus is fine.
Voice vote, yeah. Okay.
As long as nobody has any changes.
Good.
All right, excellent. Perfect. So, yes, the minutes from January 17, 2023 are agreed upon and can be officially entered. And with that, we'll move on to new business instead of old business. PW 2023-12, our snow operations report.
They've all been brief so far, so we're going to keep it going.
All right.
Actually, we've had a very good winter as far as we're concerned. We've taken our minimum of salt, which if we don't have to take anymore, will save us approximately $23,000. And that can go, it's in the MIT fund, so obviously it stays in there, but it can go for a lot of other projects next budget year.
Awesome.
Other than that, I did mention we do have one good size repair for $6,900, and we have another one that has been in the shop now for almost 3 weeks awaiting parts. They're on back order. So.
What? Things are on back order?
Yeah, we're just crossing our fingers now. But it's one of the older ones that we will be able to get rid of once we take possession of our new ones in September.
Excellent.
That's all I have on this one. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Got
anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I like the short ones. Awesome. Thanks, sir. All right, new business item number 2, PW 2023-13, our T-Mobile lease amendment.
This is their first amendment. They have been with us since 04. And they want to amend this to allow them to move their cabinet outside of the tower to the south side of our building, which we are all in favor of. That's a small water tower, and with 5G, their gear just keeps growing and growing and growing. And we would like to have space in our water tower to work. So this kind of fits both of our needs. They will fence the area in, so it will not be accessible. It's adjacent to our fenced area in our building, so it's tucked away in the south side of our building. It won't be seen by very many people, and it should be out of the way. They don't have to get us to access their equipment.
we have to go there at 1 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Now to let them into the bottom of the tower.
Right.
Okay. Has it always been on the inside?
Always. They like to keep them on the inside because the outside cabinets do cost them much more than the inside cabinets.
Yes. Okay. But as the technology increases, so does the amount of space they need. So we started here back in 2004. And then,
yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
And they are not asking to increase or decrease their monthly lease payment. It stays the same, and right now we're at $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yes, it's $3,064.38.
Yep. Okay. That's very good revenue. It's right in the middle of our three carriers.
So with the automatic renewal update of 4 additional, what was the status prior to that aspect?
It was 3 automatic renewals, 5-year increments each. They were
okay.
Basically, or 4, and we're at our end, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Almost at our end.
We have that clause, I think, in every other antenna contract that we have.
Okay. All right, excellent. Ken, you got anything?
I'm good.
Joe? Chris? Chris is good. All right, awesome. So I don't think anything's earth-shattering here. I'm good with the consent agenda. If
yep.
You guys are in agreement. All right, excellent. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And new business item number 3, PW 2023-14, our baseline road improvements.
All right, we took bids on the 13th for the baseline road improvements. And again, this is patching and resurfacing a baseline road, horse-rated street road within the city has been for years. We had 3 bidders bid the project, low bidder being Builders Paving in the amount of $526,888, which was a very good bid, below our estimate, and we are recommending award of the contract.
I'm good.
Any questions? I guess my only question, we had a few residents that had reached out kind of relative to concerns there. Sounds like some cars end up in their yards.
Mm-hmm.
What's the notification process once the work starts? Like, are they kind of given like a heads up, like, hey, we're going to be...
Yeah, they do. DEI does door hangers usually before the project starts, and they give their contact information.
Okay.
And DEI's resident engineers out there on site the whole time they're working.
Okay.
So if there's any questions, they can get right in contact with us through EEI.
Okay.
That's if we agree to the second part.
It's true. No, we'll notify Aaron too. Aaron will do a social media blast.
Yeah.
Typically, in all of our infrastructure projects,
yeah, okay,
we'll do a combination of both.
I just when that triggered a thought. So how many homes that are? So you're just going to notify city residents, or
we'll notify everybody.
There's only 3 homes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I knew there was very.
There's
and then
only 3.
So how does that? Does the county or does some people for other individuals?
No, we'll
send
a letter.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yes. Excellent. What are your thoughts on where we should place it on the agenda? I think there's going to be much of a discussion on it. I know we've talked about it a couple times. Consent?
All right, I'm fine.
All right, excellent.
I can pull it off.
Put it on consent. Chris, did you have any questions on it?
I have no questions on these. The only thing I'm going to be... having questions on is the last item.
Okay, excellent. I mean the new last item, not the old business last item, right? All right, awesome. So let's go ahead and throw that on consent agenda. And we got new business item number 4, slightly related PW 2023-15, the baseline road construction engineering agreement.
Yep, so as Joe alluded, we need a construction engineering agreement in order to manage the project and supervision on site. So I did not get a chance to do a memo for that, so I apologize, but it is for $41,983. That is based on hourly rates for last year's schedule, and so it does not impact the agenda item later on. We do have this budget, and we recommend approval.
Okay. Excellent. So it's listed as information, but we're looking to put it on, right? Good with consent?
Yeah.
Consent.
Awesome. Don't want to put that on the standard agenda. Can't
yeah, this tracking document does say it's informational, but we do need a vote on it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Well, consent sounds good for that. Awesome. Thanks, Bart. New business item number 5, PW 2023-16, our Bristol Ridge Road resurfacing.
All right, so the project is essentially complete, and as we normally do, we bring forth the balancing change order to kind of close out the project. So that's what we're doing here this evening. So the project did come in below budget, about $60,000 below what was contracted. So we are recommending approval of this. This will generate some closeout paperwork with IDOT. We do have a couple punch list items that will be addressed in the spring from the contractor. Just all trying to move things forward to wrap it up in the spring.
Perfect. I have no questions. Ken, you got any?
Nope.
Joe? I'm good. All right. It's still on consent agenda. See how much I can pack over there for you. So, new business item number 6, PW 2023-17, Prairie Point Parking Lot Improvements.
Yeah, similar theme here. We're at the end of this particular project, and we're bringing forth the same change order. Just kind of a closeout, if you will, of the project. So pretty much right at budget, slight decrease, $450 and change. So certainly recommending approval of this balancing change order.
Yeah. Almost as robust as the last week.
Yeah. So. I already have many projects planned for that.
We'll spend it all in one time.
I like it. A bunch of planners everywhere.
There's a crack out here in the parking lot.
You probably hired Joel to, he was got pretty good at repairing cracks for a while. He'd probably give you a discount too. Excellent. I have no questions there. Thanks again, Brad. Ken,
or Joel?
Excellent. Yeah. All right, we're on a trend here. Let's still listen on consent. We're on
the yep.
Sure. Excellent. If I can get this to wake up, sorry. There we go. New business item number 7, PW 2023-18, the Rebuild Illinois Fox Hill Improvements.
All right, this project has been on a few different agendas, but we're trying to close out the paperwork. There is a follow-up resolution that's needed, just IDOT-related paperwork that needs to be tightened up, if you will, to close out the project. So there is a resolution along with a request for expenditure form that needs to be executed. So we are recommending approval, again, just to close this project out with the state.
Excellent. I'm good with that.
I'm good.
And are we also good with a little CA action there again?
Yep.
All right. Consent agenda. It is. Excellent. New business item number 8, PW 2023-19, 2023 Road to Better Roads Program.
All right. Just keep rolling with IDOT paperwork here. So we have submitted the Road to Better Roads program to IDOT for their review. And then as typical as we do at least the last decade or so, we're using MFT funds to help fund the road program. So along with that, there's a resolution that needs to be approved and passed by City Council. So that's what's in the packet this evening. Certainly recommending passing and approving that. We've been coordinating the dollar value with Rob, and this is what was recommended from a budget perspective.
Do you have any questions? I think there's going to be some questions, possibly, so let's just throw this on the standard public works agenda. Plus, I'll give John a break on that one. Excellent. Thanks again, Brett.
Yeah.
New business item number 9, PW 2023-20, which is our 2023 Water Main Improvements Contract.
All right, we took bids on the 14th for the first water main project for the year. This would be Contract A. Several bidders. I would say we had very good bids, very tight as far as the values go. So low bidder being Performance Construction and Engineering out of Plano. We are recommending award to that contractor in the amount of $1,799,287.00. And this work would begin after the budget year, so sometime in early May we would expect it to be.
And is this part of the accelerated water main?
It is, okay. Yes.
Excellent. Well, I think that's
the same. Will this have services too?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll go with present.
Good question on that.
Nice.
Good.
Good, good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Excellent. Chris said, Chris, still have no questions? All right, excellent. Thanks, Chris. We're going to throw this on the standard public works agenda as well.
Okay.
And thank you again, Brad. And new business item number 10, PW2023-21, which is our 2023 water main replacement contract construction engineering agreement.
Similar to Baseline Road, we need engineers to manage the construction of the project. The EEI has a contract here for $185,000 plus $100. That is an hourly rate, so it's an estimate at this point based on actual time spent in the field. It is budgeted. We do recommend approval.
Excellent. Any questions?
Nope.
Any
questions? All right. That one will still on the standard agenda as well, if that makes sense. And thank you, Bart. New business item number 11, Corneal's Road Interceptor Improvements.
All right, the City Council entered into an agreement with the contractor, Fisher Excavating, last fall. So it was actually delayed from when we actually bid the project to when it was awarded, about 90 days. This had to do with the funding. If you recall, it was all kind of tied in with the Bright Farms project and what have you. So there was, again, 90-day delay between it was when it was expected to be awarded and when it was actually awarded. So the contractor is just asking for those 90 days on the back end in case they need it, which puts it out to July 1st. At this point, they're making pretty good progress. They've been under construction for several weeks. They actually brought a second crew in, and certainly we're hoping that they're not going to need all this time out to July 1st.
Yep.
But certainly it seems appropriate and fair since we delayed the award from when they originally did the project. So we are recommending approval of the change order, and we'll come back, maybe at the next meeting, provide a progress update, just to make sure we're keeping on track and whether or not we have to consider other things as the project moves ahead.
Okay. Excellent. I have no questions. Okay.
No.
Joe?
This might be with Christmas.
I think the next one.
Okay.
The rate increase for questions probably is his question. I have no issues with that. It seems pretty standard, so consent agenda if you guys are good with that. Excellent. And thanks again, Brad. And new business item number 12, PW2023-23, EEI rate increase request.
So we do have a memo in the packet that goes over a schedule of EEI rates that we review every year. It's usually an inflationary amount, subject to whatever inflation is occurring at the time. So this year, EEI is requesting 7% in general. It's not exactly the same for every line item within that memo, but that's kind of the aggregated increase, which is less than inflation of 7-9% that we saw the past year. So we felt that it was in line with the normal inflationary increase, so we are recommending approval. The way this works with the contract, just in case you don't remember, the original contract was approved in 2013, so it is getting quite old in modern terms. But that contract is actually set at a retainer rate of $240,000 or so as a minimum base services TEEI. So what happens is, since we're not changing that value, we haven't changed it since 2012, although that probably needs to change at some point in the next, several years, I'll say, at this point. Each rate increase chips away the number of hours we receive from the base services. There has not been an issue in the past several years with EEI coming to us and saying, we don't have enough hours in the base services contract, we needed an increase, so we've been happy to increase the hourly rates went along, knowing that the base services contract cost of the city is still fixed. So what it will change is any supplemental contracts that we've approved. So the two that we did tonight, those hourly rates are based on last year's rates, but next year when we do it, it'll be 2023 rates. And then anything that is developer-funded work that EEI does on our behalf. So subdivision inspections and other things that the developer would pay for to us, that we would then utilize EEI for would be at this higher hourly rate. So that is the basics of the request. Happy to answer any questions.
Chris.
Did you recognize me?
Yes.
Okay. So we had a rate increase last year, correct?
Yes.
And was that was an average of 3 or 4%?
I believe it was between 3 and 4, if I remember correctly.
Okay. And you mentioned it, Bart. So we've got our base fee, and every time we do an increase, basically we're getting less hours in what we're doing. We've not really run into an issue with that, but at some point, yeah, we have to make an adjustment depending on the scope of work. But this also affects our contracts in general, because this is the same scale that they're using for all of our projects, whether it's water, streets, anything, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I get inflation is high this year. 7% is quite a bit, because I look at it as the city has a max that we're increasing based on our levy. So we're getting an increase, and you know, everybody is trying to get an increase to offset their expenses and their fees this year, but 7%, it is high when I'm looking at it. I understand where it's coming from. I am struggling with this one significantly, because I know this does come out of our $240,000 pool, but it has other ramifications into every other product that we do. So, you know, if this would have come to us at, you know, 3 to 4%, I probably would have questioned it, but at 7%, I'm really thinking hard about this one, because I don't know what the total impact is going to be overall on all of our projects that we have moving forward. So that's what I've got for right now.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris.
Pop anything up there? You good?
Fine.
Good?
Okay. All right. Excellent. So I think, again, thank you, Chris, for your comments here. We'll go ahead and move it to the standard Public Works agenda. Probably have a pretty good discussion on it as well. And thank you, Bart, again, for the recap there. And with that, I think we've covered the old business item so far. Does anybody have any additional business?
One small item. So Sunset and Leisure, is that ours? The street?
Yes.
Are they doing some core samples or something over there?
Yeah, that one I filled in today.
Huh, did it?
Yep.
Yeah, because I had a couple residents at the basketball game the other night ask me who, if it was township or if it was us.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I think it was us for the just for the core samples for the season.
So someone contacted you too?
Yep.
Okay. I told them wait until Tuesday night and I'd tell them who to contact.
It is filled.
Okay.
Joe, you got anything? Chris, any additional business?
The only thing I had for additional business is kind of an old business. Route 47, the Bristol Bay connection, we got an update from staff.
Yes. I did. And so my first question off the top, did I send an email on it? I knew that I meant to, because I got a detailed response from IDOT.
Yes, you did send out an email. I'm
okay.
I don't remember if it was everything or just a quick...
That update was that simply that the project was so far along in the design phase that they thought the earliest that it could begin construction was actually right within our timeline. It would actually happen before anything that we did to connect ourselves and design that. So his general comment was like, I can look into this, but it may actually delay the project to do so. And I said, don't do that. And he did say that he would check into it, if I remember correctly, to confirm, but I have not heard anything back since then. So as far as I'm aware, that project is moving forward, getting ready to be bid out, and it's going to start construction here within the next, you know, a couple construction seasons here, you know, and ready to go.
Okay. So they've not given us a construction year, a definitive year, though?
Let's see if I can pull up the comment.
I just sent it to you.
Thank you.
Like 2024, I think, is what was in your...
That cell, is correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is next construction season, which is...
Yeah, next one.
Yeah.
And that means they bought all the property they have to, easements or whatever.
You'll probably see utility poles moving this year and gas main in that this year.
Okay, so they've done all that.
So next year they can start the actual construction.
Yeah, it's actually the D1. Yeah. They're looking at realistic lighting at the end of this year or early 2024. So they're at preliminary plan status and working towards pre-final plans. So they're going to have pre-final plans available for everybody to review later this summer, and you know, to let us know. So that's the actual IDOT District 1 project manager who we haven't had contact with in a while. So that was unexpectedly positive.
And that'll be a two-year project at least, probably, to do all of it.
Yeah, I recall them always kind of saying that it would be like 2.5, like it. Most of it gets done in two, and then they've always got button-up work to do.
Okay. That's what 71 and both ways on 34, they were two full seasons and then a partial of that third year.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent.
I mean, it's better than what I was anticipating. Granted, we've got a lot of houses coming online out of Bristol Bay, but 24 for a start of construction, yeah. I mean, either which way, even if we did build it and they came in and did that, I mean, it'd be interrupted access even if we were to squeeze that in more quickly than they were. For us to be able to get it done left and out there in less time is, yeah, like you said, probably kind of realistic. So, okay. But would we look to move this project forward on our part for engineering to get it wrapped into their project or lighting?
They're going to do all of it for us. As far as I'm aware,
we would just pay them the unit price.
Yeah, it's basically that they're going to design up to the right of way, and that anything after that would be like a negotiation between us and the contractor. You know, as they come through, that's what we did with the main section of Route 47 in town. We direct negotiated with the contractor and got unit pricing for that. Although, didn't they end up adding that to the contract?
They did at the time on side streets. We did so many.
Yep, so we might have a couple different options there, but we will certainly notify them that we intend to do that.
That'll work. I appreciate that update. That's good news.
Awesome. Thank y'all. Good question, Chris. Chris. Threw a W in there, I think. Quiz. All right, I have nothing additional on top of additional business. Ken?
Mm-hmm. Joe?
No, I'm good.
Okay. With that, then, let's go ahead and officially call the meeting to a close. It's 6:43.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Fish, water,
rain. Ooh. Yeah.